Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Dr. Robin Titus. She's the minority floor leader of the Assembly, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions, and all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome to the program Assemblywoman Dr. Robin Titus of District 38. She is the minority floor leader. Pleasure to have you on the program.
And thank you, Sam, for having me.
And you are an actual doctor.
I am. I'm a family practice doctor.
You treat patients. So please get us up to date on your experience at this point with COVID.
Well, it's been a nightmare, I think, not just for citizens, but for the medical community also. Driving in today, I reached out to my hospital administrator and tried to get an update on really what the situation is here in the state of Nevada. We're hearing about hospitals being full and patients being turned away, and I'm still the county health officer in Lyon County. And it's a situation that is critical. The key for what I'm seeing is that it takes 11 days for our little hospital to get the COVID test results back.
11 days. That's insane.
And by then you're already out of quarantine. And so if we're gonna really stop the spread of this disease, we have to do something about the turnaround time. So the state, I know, had purchased a contract with Quest to try to get that turnaround time decreased, and hopefully that happens. There's some other labs out there that can get the turnaround time, but for the state, for our hospital, 11 days. Just checked it, just documented it. The other situation is, Renown is full, but it's not necessarily that beds are all full. There's a difference between staffing and actual beds. And what we're seeing throughout the state is that they've reached capacity for their staff, not necessarily the beds. And this morning's report for Renown was they're 100% occupied as far as staffing goes. Their actual bed percent occupied is something about 77%, something like that. And throughout the state, this weekend, we had to transfer two patients to California hospitals from our little rural hospital because we couldn't get beds anywhere in Nevada.
Okay, so that opens up a whole bunch of questions. So Renown, which is in northern Nevada, for our mm-hmm. friends in southern Nevada who are listening, and it's currently the largest hospital in northern Nevada, they have the garage that they converted to be an overflow for the hospital. They are actually using it now. Previously, they had gotten it ready, but didn't need to use it. Have all elective surgeries at this point stopped?
From my understanding, from patients that I know that had their surgeries canceled, yes.
Okay, so the numbers we're seeing, because it's hard to break out. You're seeing numbers every day from news organizations, mm-hmm. but they don't necessarily break out the information to where it's as helpful as it could be. So elective surgeries are done. So at this point, all the numbers we're seeing are essentially COVID or emergency related.
Not necessarily. I mean, people have unexpected injuries, fractured hips. So, you know, there's other surgeries that you have to do that aren't elective. Elective surgeries
right,
are,
right.
but so they're still having those. They still have the heart attacks. They still have
right.
pneumonia.
Well, that's what I meant by emergencies.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing is I have a really close friend who's actually a nurse who ended up with COVID and recovered from a COVID but ended up with bilateral pneumonia, a secondary infection. And a lot of these that we're seeing are these folks get these secondary infections. And as a doc, I used to see people with viruses all the time, cold, common cold, influenza, et cetera. And I would always tell them, you know, you treat the symptoms, you stay home, you avoid people. But then if you start getting better and get sick again, then you've got the secondary infection and you need to call me, et cetera. And so we see that a lot now too, that these people's immune systems are suppressed because of the virus, because you're trying to fight that. And then, boy, you get exposed to something else and you really get sick. So it's a whole bunch of factors.
What are your concerns for yourself and your staff?
Well, actually, I'm not in the office anymore. I had a young doctor take over the office. So I'm just now a consultant for our hospital and still the county health officer. So I go into our long-term care unit. We have to be very careful. The long-term cares are really the big issue and the big concern. When I go into the long-term care, man, I not only mask up, gown up, face shield, et cetera, to protect those folks, the most vulnerable. And so there's some concern. As far as our staff goes, a lot of our staff has been exposed already. We're hopefully, you know, the vaccine comes about. I mean, I think that's really when we get over the hump of this virus. I heard earlier on your show about the virus peaking in March. Many viruses do peak in March. This has been a strange virus, and sometimes influenza also acts this way, where it may be through the summer. So we can't count on a seasonal change variation. What we can hopefully count on is that vaccine coming out.
What are your concerns then regarding the flu season? I mean, I was talking to the pharmacist at Costco recently when I got my flu shot, and that was at the beginning of October. They said that they were doing land office business much busier than they've been in the last 3 years. Is that what you're seeing in terms of people getting vaccinated for the flu? And what are your concerns about the system being overwhelmed by the normal flu season?
Well, so far we're seeing a decrease in the flu, so we haven't seen that huge peak in the flu. Yes, some of it people have gotten their flu vaccine, but mostly the stuff that's in place, the 6 feet avoidance of somebody, the washing your hands, the wearing of a mask, all of those things actually present not just coronavirus, but they prevent all transmission of diseases. So people are being more aware of that. So I think we're just not seeing that. We're just not seeing that flu. And hopefully people have been doing their due diligence and getting their flu vaccines.
Is there a backup plan utilizing the Nevada Guard if things get worse than they are at this point?
You know, I don't know. The governor doesn't share that with me, although I have spoken personally to Caleb Cage and Julia Peek. I have their numbers, and when numbers don't make sense to me, I'll give them a call. Like this, hearing that the turnaround time is 11 days to get the results back, something has to be done about that. So whether they're going to turn back and reach out to the National Guard, there's an expense with that. Our COVID funding ends December 30th, so there's some issues about expense of calling out the Guard again. I think they'd be willing. I think, you know, the citizens themselves are willing. Anybody that can help, we all want to see this get better for their state. The governor has put in plans about having the pharmacist where you got your vaccine for the influenza to be able to give the COVID vaccine. All those are really smart moves. So we're trying to get in front of it when we do get that vaccine. Who's going to get it? How's it going to be distributed? You know, who will access it? All of those things, it's being in the planning process.
And are we seeing a view to getting people who have potentially retired to volunteer to be a part of this effort?
Because
as you pointed out at the beginning here, the doctors and nurses are exhausted from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not only are citizens exhausted, they have the COVID exhaustion. healthcare providers are exhausted from that. They're overwhelmed, they're working extra shifts, you know, they're volunteers. There's certainly a lot of people that can serve and volunteer to be part of that process when that needs to be done. Fire departments, paramedics, those type of folks. There's lots of people who have the capacity and the skills to be part of it. And I think even, you know, pharmacy techs and the pharmacists, all those, the people are willing to step up. And I think we'll see that. I trust Nevadans, they'll step up.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more with Dr. Titus after this timeout.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't going to let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Kenny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblywoman Dr. Robin Titus. She's the minority floor leader. You were saying that there are some thoughts you have of what to present to the legislature coming up in February.
Well, one of the things that we've known for a long time is that we don't have enough health care providers in the state of Nevada. Throughout, this will be my fourth year at the session and on Ways and Means, my fourth time around. And we're always looking at how do we provide enough healthcare providers. So we've stepped up for the state and from the medical school in Las Vegas to increasing the programs for nursing. The private colleges have all and universities have come in. So we need to educate more providers. When we educate them, we need to keep them. But then that's still not enough, and it takes a long time. So how do we solve it now? So one of the things we are looking at are interstate compacts, where we can get licensed nurses, licensed physicians, licensed nurse practitioners, and physician assistants that are licensed in other states, so they've gone through the accreditation process, get them quickly licensed in the state of Nevada. And it takes just so long right now to get a person licensed in many of these medical professions. That's something we need to look at.
Why does it take so long?
Great question. When I was on the State Board of Medical Examiners and we were involved in getting physician licenses turned around, part of it is background checks, documentations, references, all those kind of things. But it shouldn't take as long as it does. My dental hygienist took 6 months to get her license.
That's
in the
ridiculous.
State of Nevada. Really?
Somebody who cleans your teeth.
Yeah. And they were
no offense.
They,
I mean, but she, mine does
you know,
a great job.
They were trained, and she had a license in California, a standing license in California. Why would it take 6 months to get your license?
Well, is that protectionism?
Well, I would hope not. I mean, maybe it has been in the past, but we all have to see that there's not enough of us. There's not many of the bills that I put through. Expanded what the PAs and nurse practitioners could do, actually didn't expand the practice, just help them practice to the maximum of their scope of practice. And that's what we need to see. We can't be keeping people out of our state. I mean, we're way beyond that. Our population has grown. There's plenty of work for all of us. And so we need to really look at, and hopefully this next session we can really delve into some of those occupational licensing issues. There's bills out there to kind of combine some of these boards and just not make it so difficult. We should be welcoming people into the state, not making it hard for them to come here. At the same time, the board's jobs are to protect the citizens, right, and make sure that we're licensing qualified people. But it's much easier to do that now.
You know, going back to England in the 1960s, they were short of nurses and they were short of bus drivers. And they advertised in places like Jamaica and the Philippines to get people to come. And that's what in part changed the makeup of England in terms of their population identity. You know, now there is a lot of talk about, you know, the opportunity to reform immigration laws. Is that something you're comfortable with?
Oh, absolutely. We need to have qualified licensed folks come to Nevada. We, in our rural communities, sponsor nurses from the Philippines and lab techs. It can take up to 9 years to get a lab tech licensed, certified, and into the United States. That's ridiculous. There should be a much more streamlined, I'm all for qualified professionals coming into our state to help us. And there are those out there who want to do so.
It will be interesting to see, you know, immigration reform is one of the most contentious issues that ever comes before the Congress. And it will be fascinating to see if at this time in our country's history that we could see immigration reform. That would actually in some ways be mind-blowing, in a good way. Let's turn our attention to the election. Lessons learned from this election, because for those that are excited for Joe Biden and for a Democratic administration, but when you look at the numbers, 80 million for Biden, 72, 74 million for Trump, it was not the blowout the Democrats hoped for, and you know, Republicans have nothing to be ashamed about in terms of the numbers turning out. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it definitely wasn't a blue wave. There's still a lot of concern and anxiety over this election. And as you well know, during our special session, AB 4 was passed, and it kind of set the stage for what happened. A couple things. First off, for your viewers who do not know, the AB 4 was the ombudsman, huge bill that changed election law. It was a huge bill. It was passed in 3 days, and a lot of it wasn't vetted very well in my mind. And that set up the mail-in ballots. Well, when you have a mail-in ballot, then there's a delay in the counting, and people get ballots that shouldn't get them. People have moved. And so then there's distrust in the system. Having said that, however, we knew as from the day after last session, the 80th session, that we needed to not go back in the superminority as Republicans. We didn't have a seat at the table. We couldn't block anything. We came when we actually got bills passed, but we really couldn't make a difference in the direction. So our goal from the very last day of session, the 80th session, was to pick up, we needed 2 seats. We had 13 in the assembly. So we sat down, myself and our leadership team, and set out some priorities on what districts could we go after. I'm a hunter, I don't believe in the shotgun approach to things. We wanted to focus and narrow it in into what were reasonable things to spend our money's on. We didn't anticipate COVID, but in the end, that also became a big player because we couldn't have these mass fundraisers and the monies. So that was a huge thing. So focusing on what we did do, these 5 key districts, we wanted to hold Assemblyman Hambrick's seat in the South. That's always been a Republican seat. He was term limit out, but the margins was just about 2% difference in R's and D's in that one. So that was one of our 5. And then we wanted the 4 seats that we thought we could pick up, we went after. That was the Assemblywoman Nal Dickman's seat in Assembly 31. Then there was also the seat that Andy Matthews picked up in the South, the seat MacArthur picked up in the South, and then there was one other that we had Stephen DeLay on. As it turned out, things ebb and flow in politics, as you well know. We didn't expect COVID. We didn't expect the fundraising problems. We didn't expect that Al Kramer would not run again in the Carson District one. So that became a seat we wanted to hold in Carson. We kept doing things about what was the voting and the Trump factor. We didn't know. So we were really focused that all politics is local. And we had to keep our heads down and focus on these races, regardless of what happened nationally, regardless of even what happened in the Senate. We had to pick up these seats. And to that end, We got 4 out of 5 of our seats. We held on to our seats. We didn't lose any seats. And we picked up 3 seats. So we did well.
It seems like there was a disconnect between the presidential election and, as you say, the local elections, which became all politics is local.
Right. I was the co-chair for Trump's re-election campaign in the state. So there really wasn't a disconnect. But what we couldn't do, we know that indeed all politics are local. And some of our candidates were running not in far right, in my rural district. What my rural folks need and want and expect is different than what, say, Heidi Gansert or Jill Tolles or Lisa Krasner or even Jill Dickman, what their constituents want. And so we had to recognize that and not separate ourselves from the president, but just recognize that, again, each district, each person had to run what was best for their districts. To that end, we kept doing polls and what was the sensitive talking points. Defunding the police was a huge discussion that didn't matter what political party you were. It was public safety, the COVID crisis and public health.
Hang on, can I just back you up for a second here? So defunding the police, was that a negative in Las Vegas and Clark County as well as it was in other parts of the state?
I think throughout our state, the folks did not want to look at defunding the police. They wanted to be able to dial 911 and know a police officer was coming. And that was something that resonated when the folks did the polling. Not we, the caucus ourselves didn't do polling, but there was plenty of polling out there that the candidates did and all. And that resonated throughout. Public safety was a huge concern across the board.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back with Robin Titus after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking to the Minority Floor Leader, Assemblywoman Dr. Robin Titus. So, a lot of people were upset, legislators, about the midnight meetings and post-midnight meetings in the special sessions. I spoke to Senator Kansala about that. She said that's why they're called special sessions. We don't anticipate that going into the regular session. What is the regular session going to look like? Are you going to be in Carson City? Are you going to be in the legislative building?
Our Constitution and our law mandate that we are in Carson City when we are in session. So whether or not we'll be in the building or not, hopefully we will be. I've met with Speaker Friesen already in person at length. He's been very open to taking my calls, meeting with me. And we're both of the opinion that it's the citizens' house, citizens' legislature, and it should be open to the citizens. How we're going to do that, how we're going to keep people safe. My own attaché wants to make sure she doesn't get sick. I mean, we want to be respectful of people's concerns. At the same time, We want to be respectful of the process. And so there will probably be some modified hearings. We're looking at maybe opening up to, so my suggestion to the speaker was, you know, do like the Walmart clicker out there, right? You let so many people into the building, you make sure they have appointments so that people can access us. We know from that special session, and I have to, with all due respect, disagree with the senator. That was my fourth special session, and they were organized in the past. They knew what they were going after. They already had their numbers. The bills were fairly well written. These special sessions were not like that. These special sessions were having bills changed in the middle of the night. AB4 that I mentioned earlier on in this program was introduced on July 31st, was signed by the governor on the 3rd. People could not really vet this. Even our Secretary of State only saw a copy of it an hour before the hearing and never received a written copy of it until during the hearing. So that's not really good legislature. I've said time and time again, best policy is passed when all parties are at the table, everybody has an opinion and a discussion, and out of that, good policy goes forward. That's not how this was done. And so what our session is going to be like this time around, the duty of the state legislature is to pass the budget. That is the only mandated duty of that. So we have five budgets that we must pass, and I think we're really going to focus on passing the budget.
We're almost out of time here, so my point was going to be that Carson City's Wi-Fi is going to be really needed to be working 1,000%. So Carson City Wi-Fi people, get it together.
Well, they had the test run during the special sessions,
yes,
right?
They did. Thank you for being here. Please come back soon.
Thank you for the invitation.
You're very welcome.
Much appreciated.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they will.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.